All right. Well, God never forgets, and so even if you forget what you're supposed to pray for, just pray for the person. You know, don't ever... We find a bunch of dumb excuses to not pray, don't we? I can't remember what I was supposed to pray about, so I'm just not going to pray at all. That's silly. Yeah. That's silly, isn't it? And I think it gets us in trouble, too. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, and let's turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And I'll probably just read the whole chapter, just to make it all nice and in context. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Yep. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God that we've just read. I pray, Lord, as we just look at a verse or two today, I pray you'd use the Scriptures. I pray you'd remind us what we just read and help us to relate it back and see everything in the proper context and understanding. Father, I just pray for your help. I cannot reach the hearts of people. Only you can do that. And I need you to reach my heart above all, that I might just yield myself to you and let you work. Father, you know what we need. And Lord, we just ask your help. And we just thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And earlier he said that that love was the fulfilling of the law. All the law is fulfilled in this one word: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so when we talk about love, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one it mentions is love. And you know, we've been talking about and teaching in the Sunday school about the people that were filled with the Holy Ghost in the Bible and what we saw in them. And you know, we're kind of that way when it comes to something. We like everything neat and tied up in a little bowl. So that's why a bunch of people run around and say, well, I spoke in tongues, so I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But we've already seen in the Scriptures that the filling of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, is not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing thing. All right? You can be filled with the Spirit one minute and later be not filled with the Spirit. If you yield yourself to the flesh, I mean, that's what he told us. He said there real clearly, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, there's a battle going on inside you, the flesh, that old nature, and the Spirit, the new nature that God has put in you, and they're contrary one to the other. That's, by the way, that's why you can't live by your feelings. A lot of the so-called being filled with the Holy Ghost has to do with a lot of emotion. And I don't deny that being filled with the Holy Ghost can evoke emotion, but emotion is not the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit's a person. He's somebody to be listened to, somebody to be obeyed, somebody to be yielded to, somebody to follow. Notice what he said. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he goes and lists all the works of the flesh, doesn't he? And then he lists the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But before that, he says, they that are Christ have crucified what? The flesh. With the affections and the lusts. In other words, everything is subjected to the Spirit of God. And that's why we need to understand that. But notice he said, and I want to say this, and I'm kind of going because we've been preaching on this and teaching on this, and I've just been really burdened about this, and like the Lord won't let it go, so I'm just going to keep going until he tells me to go on to something else. But he said, it said in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and it starts out with love. Now I want you to notice, you see the picture we have up there? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is orange. There were a bunch of pictures I could have pulled up, but a lot of them had a bunch of different little fruits on there. But it didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. It's one fruit that's manifested in different ways. It's one fruit that's manifested in these things. These are the things that come out. And the first thing it says, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, let me just say this and say it very clearly and very straightforwardly before I get into that focus on that point. I'm just simply saying that you cannot be filled with the Spirit, nor can you bear the fruit of the Spirit unless you are born again. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I didn't say that you know about Christ being the Savior. I'm saying if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you have not been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, I didn't say you know about Him, I say you know Him. That you've trusted Him. You've come to the point where you realize that you're a sinner and there's absolutely no good that you could do that could possibly get you to heaven. And you believe that Jesus died and paid the penalty for your sins, and you believe that He rose from the dead, and you personally call on Him. And like it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You put your faith and trust in Him. You acknowledge yourself a sinner deserving hell, and you realize He's your only hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Just like we read in the book of Acts today, in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one person. And you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. You've trusted Him as your Savior. You called on Him. And you're trusting Him and Him alone. His death, His burial, His resurrection. His precious blood is the only atonement for your sins. And when you put your faith and trust in Christ that way, that's when a person is born again. The Bible says, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so if you, and the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So unless you've been born again, this does you no good. Because when we say the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's not love as defined by man. It's love is defined by God. It's different than natural affection. It's deeper, it's greater, it's stronger. But He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And as I studied that, and we look at that, the idea of the fruit of the Spirit being love, what is that? If you're a believer, you say the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, you know, we have love for people. We as a church, we ought to have, I mean, just when you spend time with people and you get to know them, you have friends, you have family, you got church members, and we have that level of love and affection we have for the people we care about. But even this is deeper than that. Our idea of love is pretty limited. And then our idea of love has to do with feelings, doesn't it? We love people as long as they... I mean, we're like hound dogs, you know? You as long as somebody's speaking kind to you, your tail's a wagging. But once they begin to say something that you don't like, all of a sudden your teeth are bared. Huh? Or you cower away and try to get away from them. Don't want to be around them no more. Huh? I mean, we almost live like that, don't we? The Bible talks about a time where people will live like brute beasts. That's what we do a lot of times. But that shouldn't be the way about believers. If we're filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is being manifest, there should be love. But what is that love supposed to look like? Well, we don't have to guess. Hallelujah. We don't have to guess what that love is supposed to look like. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There are three key things that the Bible talks about love as defined by God. And of course, it's ultimately defined by God's love toward us, isn't it? And we'll talk about that more. But all of this love is just emulating God's love toward us. We know what the Bible says. Right? If we go to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of Titus, if you want to turn over to Titus chapter 2, it tells us there, get there very quickly, in Titus chapter 2, it says this. It says, excuse me, Titus chapter 3, it says, verse 4, it says, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 is where I'm at. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's an amazing thing, the love and kindness of God. All of these things that we're going to talk about are based upon that love toward us. You see, we don't define love man's way, we define love God's way. And you know, there's three things there I said that it talks about. The love of God. I'm not talking there about the love of God toward man. I'm talking about the love of us toward God. The love of the brethren. The love of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And love for the lost. I mean, we look at these things and look at what the Bible says about the love of God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." I love God because He loved me first. We love Him because He first loved us, the Scripture says. But that love of God, that love for God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why love is a fruit of the Spirit. This love is something, and now people like to say, you know, they like to use different terms. Oh, the Bible has, the Greek has different terms for love, and they want to talk about divine love being as agape. You don't have to know that it's agape. You just have to know that there's love for God. You don't have to know any Greek to get this right. You just have to be yielded to the Spirit of God. You just have to throw away the flesh and yield to the Spirit. When you see that attitude toward God that just like wants to put God off on the shelf and doesn't want to take time to think about the Lord, doesn't want to talk to the Lord, anything like that, that's the flesh. But when the Holy Ghost gets involved, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Amen. We have a love for God. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Boy, the love of God means I'm not just worried about what's going to happen when I'm tomorrow, and am I going to be able to go where I want to go, and am I going to be able to get what I need to get, and am I going to be able to enjoy what I want to enjoy? No, we're looking for the coming of the Savior. You know, when you love somebody and they've gone away, you look forward to the day when they come back, don't you?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you there's a heap of people that profess the name of Christ that are not looking for Jesus to come. But we're supposed to be looking, aren't we? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we're supposed to be looking for is that love of God. Love of God. Love to, when you love somebody, truly you want to spend time with them. You don't just ignore them. Right? You don't do that. Not only that, you care what they have to say, don't you? A lot of marriages break up, you know why? Because the husband and wife get to the point where they don't care what the other one thinks or says or wants or anything like that. Amen. And they break up, don't they?
That's right.
And families pull apart. And I've known families that when I used to preach in a nursing home, I'd know people that were in a nursing home that their family, they never got a visit. They couldn't go to their family. Their family could have cared less. They never got a visit. Isn't that shameful? Tells me they didn't have any love in their heart for that person. If you love somebody, you won't see them. You want to be with them. That's genuine love, isn't it? Well, why is it any different? Whoso keepeth, John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him. People that keep the word of God, that also adds to your assurance of salvation, by the way. But it also, if you love God, you're concerned with what God says. You're concerned with what God wants. It means something to you. I'm picking up my tie with my glasses here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Love of God means to keep His commandments. You know, it's an amazing thing when we look at that passage of Scripture. A lot of times people think of the keeping of the commandments as how I'm going to earn my way to heaven. No, you can't. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. I'm not going to keep the commandments and get to heaven. Can't. I've already broken them.
That's right.
It's why I need a Savior. It's why there needs to be an atonement for our sins. It's why we have to put our faith and trust in Christ for salvation. But since I got saved, you know what? When my heart's right with God and I'm loving God the way I want to, I want to do what He says. I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to be an obedient child. That's how I show my love back to my Father. That's how I show God love, by keeping His commandments. I'm not up here thinking that because I'm a preacher I'm going to go to heaven. No, if that's all I've got, if all I've got is that I'm a preacher, I'm on my way to hell today.
That's right.
It's only the blood of Jesus that can save me from my sins.
Amen.
He's the one that died and was buried and rose again. He's the one that conquered sin and death and the grave. Wasn't me. No priest, no preacher, nobody can get you to heaven. I can tell you how to get there, but I can't get you there. There's nothing I can do for you. But I can point you to the one that can. So when I keep myself, when I try to do my best and desire in my heart to do the things that are contained in the law, because the law is moral, right? Decency, moral, honest, all the things we say we want to be, they're all in the law of God, because it's the law that shows us our sin. So as we strive to keep the law, I'm not trying to go to heaven by keeping the law. I'm trying to do what's right and live righteously and godly, to please my Father, to say thank you, to say I love you. And you know, when I'm filled with the Spirit, I want to do that more. That doing right isn't grievous. It's only when we get in the flesh that doing right is grievous. Because doing right sometimes is not what we want to do, isn't it? And then Jude, if you go to the book of Jude real quick, right before the book of Revelation, it says this. It says in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now there, it tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God. How to do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. There's the Spirit. He's right there again, Brother Johnny, isn't he?
Amen.
You can't have a genuine love of God without the Holy Ghost, because that type of love is fruit of the Spirit. And then the second part is the love of the brethren. First Peter chapter 1 verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Amen.
See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We just read Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You're free from the law. But don't just say, well, I'm free from the law, I'm good, so I can go do whatever I want to. No, you'll get whooping that way. Because God will deal with you if you're His child. If you just live in sin and there's no consequence, you need to get saved. Quit playing church and get saved. But I'll say this to you. He says, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but what? By love, serve one another. There it is again. John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, if you're having difficulty with the assurance of your salvation, you might want to see if there's somebody that's your brother in Christ that you're holding aught against, and you don't love your brothers and sisters in the Lord like you should. Because people that have passed from death unto life, that are abiding in the Spirit, you know what we do? We love one another. We love our brethren. John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Like I said, this love that I talk about is based upon our Father's love for us, our Savior's love for us. We judge that He laid down His life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What do we see happen in the book of Acts this morning, in chapter 3 and chapter 4? Boy, they saw people having need, and they went and sold stuff and brought the money and said, hey, those folks have a need, take care of them.
That's right.
That's just an amazing thing when you look at what happens when people get filled with the Spirit. They love God, and you know what? They love the brethren. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. We're told again and again to love one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We see it again and again. The Bible again and again tells us over and over how we are to love God. It commands us to love God. It tells us, but it also tells us that it's the fruit of the Spirit. We're commanded to love the brethren, and we're also shown that as we yield to the Spirit, we will love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And also, a love for a lost and dying world. That mirrors the love of God, doesn't it? The love for a lost and dying world. If we are filled with the Spirit, we will care about the souls of men. Even the ones that hate us. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Luke 6:27, he said the same thing, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Other people do you evil, you don't render evil for evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If thine enemy hunger, what? Feed him. Love. He says, not rendering, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Look, they can take everything in this world away from me, but you know what? They cannot take away the blessing of God from me. They cannot take away my home in heaven. They cannot take away my inheritance. They cannot take away anything. And I don't have to render evil for evil or cursing for cursing. Contrarywise, blessing. Why? Because I'm going to inherit a blessing. This world's not my home, we sing. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? We sing the songs, don't we? We like the songs, but when it comes down, when the devil's crowd comes up and they start getting ugly, we lose all compassion for them, don't we? And we want to get upset with them and angry with them. We ought to get to the point to where we weep over them. You don't see a lot of that these days, do you? Say the same thing about our brethren when we see a brother going the wrong way. You know, if you go to the end of the book of James, and I want to make a point here. It says in the end of the book of James, at the end of book of James, he says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's talking about a brother to a brother. Right? But then you go to the book of Jude and notice what he says. And remember what he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have, what? Compassion. Making a difference. The love of God toward the lost, toward the enemy, you know how it's manifested? It's manifested by compassion. Caring for their souls. If some have compassion making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We're not going to jump in the dirt with them. We want to stand on the high ground and preach the gospel and reach down with a hand and say, let me help you up. There's a better way to live. And living for Jesus Christ is the best way to live on this earth. And it's the only way to live that promises eternal life and eternal reward. We're told in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless, curse not. We're told in Romans 12, verses 17 through 21, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We look at that. The Bible says, in another place, he says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. We're told, we preached about it last week, about sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts and being ready to give an answer to every man with meekness of the reason of the hope that's in us. We're to be ready to give an answer of that. To love people out there. To love the enemies of God. To love our enemies and love a lost and dying world. That type of love, that type of compassion comes through the Spirit. And I'll just be honest with you, we do a lot of soul winning in the flesh. Because we're good. We're good about that. We can do that. You know, we're good about marking down the list, right? Going down the list. But I will remind you that Israel, they did a lot of stuff. They marked a lot of things off the list. But you know what they? You know what God said about them? They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yeah.
We can do that too.
Yeah.
What did the Lord Jesus say about the church at Ephesus? Boy, they were Johnny on the spot, weren't they? They labored. They had patience. They worked hard. They tried those that said they were apostles and are not, and they found them liars. They didn't faint. They didn't quit. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee.
Yep.
Thou hast left thy first love. They were doing things, they were doing the right things, but they were doing them in the flesh. They were just checking off the boxes. Their heart wasn't in it. Their desire wasn't in it. They weren't there. They didn't see that. They weren't filled with the Spirit. They weren't bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And you say, boy, you talk about all this. This just looks daunting to me. I don't know how I could possibly accomplish all that. Well, if you'll let the Spirit of God fill you up, if you yield yourself to the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, this fruit will come out. You'll love. And I want to remind you finally that love is not a matter of feeling. The story of a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. Now, she wasn't a blessed God, independent, fundamental Baptist or anything by any stretch of the imagination. But she was a believer, and she had suffered many things during the Holocaust and all that type of there. And she sat there. She was sitting there one day, and she was speaking, and all of a sudden, one of the guards, and you have to understand, when people were in these German prison camps and Japanese prison camps during the World War, and in many cases, those women would be violated horribly. They would be raped and abused. And they lived under those conditions. And they had to put up with things that you and I will never, probably ever have to put up with. And one day she was talking, and she wrote that book called The Hiding Place, and she became a speaker, and she'd go out and give her testimony. And one day a fellow walked up to her, and she knew him instantly. He was one of the guards. And he came to her with tears in his eyes and just begging her forgiveness and holding out his hand. He told her that he'd gotten saved. And she said, the hate just welled up in my heart. She said, that anger and that hate, I saw his face and I knew it for a minute. And she said, I was there and I was just so, and I was angry. And she said, I knew it was wrong. But I was just filled with hate for this, the things that this man had done to me, done to my family, done to my friends. And she said, the only thought that came to her head through all that red fog of hate and anger and loathing was take his hand. She said, it's like God, the Spirit spoke in her heart, said, take his hand. And she said, when she reached out, and she didn't want to do it, but she reached out and said, the moment she took his hand, love and compassion flooded her heart for this man. She could see it. I'm just going what the lady said. But you know, that's an amazing thing. We see it in the Bible, don't we? Brother Paul is out there killing folks and everything like that, and he comes back and he finally says, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and a lot of people were afraid. And then it comes old Brother Barnabas, that son of consolation, and he takes him and he brings him up and say, no, I've seen it. And he goes up and he goes against the whole crowd and says, and boy, he becomes what a great man of God, doesn't he? But afraid, they were afraid that he was just, it's got to be a trick. That man's so wicked. There's no way he's saved. There's no way he's preaching the gospel. Then they got him to hear him preach, didn't they? Then they got to see him do the work. Then they get to see him stand in his own life threatened for Jesus' sake. Boy, look what we got out of that. Look at the scripture we have because of what God did in that man. Sometimes it's hard. The flesh doesn't want to give up. But when we yield to the Spirit, the right type of love that comes out, we have compassion on the lost. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love for God, love for the brethren, and love for a lost and dying world. Do you have that? You can. It's available because it's isn't it amazing? It's hard for us to love, isn't it? We get things that people do us wrong, and we hold on to every hurt, some of us. And bitterness gets in. We go back to people that have hurt us, and we never let it go, and we'll carry it to our grave. I was like that one time. I remember not caring about my mama, whether she lived or died. Because I figured she didn't care whether I lived or died. She left when I was a year and a half old, didn't care about me. But after I got saved, God began to deal with my heart about honor thy father and the mother. Well, I was able to go back and apologize to my dad about all the things I had done him, way as I had done him wrong, and to thank him and honor him for all the things that he taught me. But I couldn't do that with my mama. All I could do was pray for her. All I could do is pray for my mama to get saved. I went from, I don't care whether she lives or dies. People would say, what about your mama? I said, I don't know about my mama. I don't really care. Could care less. She didn't care about me. She left. I didn't care. I mean, one of the most hurtful things in me in the time was getting on the phone with some woman that was asking to speak to my dad, and she it was my mama, and she never had the decency to identify herself and say, this is who I am. I'm your mama. Would you go, you know? She didn't want to sit there and talk to me. She didn't want to explain anything. Only time I ever recall hearing my mama's voice, and it's as clear as bell right now. If my mama were here today, if she was still living in this world, if she was here and she spoke, I would recognize her voice. It's just burned in my mind. You know what burned it in my mind? Hatred. Hatred burned it in my mind. But you know what? When God began to deal with my heart about that, I had to forgive her, and I had to begin praying for her salvation. I began to pray for her soul, and I've told y'all the story how God answered that prayer. But I believe every time I prayed for her soul, God dealt with her heart. That's why we should never give up praying. Even if it looks like all hope is lost, don't give up praying. See, the love of God, yeah, will there be feelings involved? Sure there could be. But the feelings might be not, you may be fighting the feelings of the flesh. But you know, as I began to pray for my mother, you know what I began to do? I began to love my mother. I began to have compassion on her. And I just look at that, and that's just my own personal testimony, but there could be any of us. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's what comes out of us when we yield to the Spirit of God. If you're not saved, God loves you. Jesus died and shed His blood to pay for your sins. He's the only Savior. The only way you could ever be saved is through Him. And when you get saved, when you get truly born again, and we learn to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, when we learn to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, you know what comes out of us? Love. Not just feelings, but genuine love. The type of love that will say, I'm going to do what's right toward these people regardless of how they do toward me. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm not trying to get to heaven, but I just want to say back to my Heavenly Father and back to my Savior, I love you. To look toward our brothers and sisters in the Lord and just love one another. What does it say in the book of Ephesians? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Talking about loving one another, forbearing one another. All the things that the Bible says about that. I mean, it's talking about love of the brethren. Unfeigned love, not fake love, real love. And it's not determined by how we feel, it's determined by what we do. And then love for the lost. Compassion. Wanting to make a difference in the life of other people. Wanting other people to be saved. Of course, we know the commandments, don't we? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But what did He say before that? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, because I have all power, you go. Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Right? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love for God. Love for the brethren. And love for a lost and dying world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close. Father, thank you for the fact that we can genuinely love you, we can genuinely love our brethren, and we can even genuinely love our enemies. Regardless of how we may feel, we can live a life of love. And Lord, if we will just simply yield ourselves to you, that love will be manifest because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Lord, I know there's probably a lot of other things I could have said, but I just pray you'd take the message and use it in every heart. If there's one that's lost, I pray you'd save them. Father, I just pray that if there's any of us just caught up in the flesh, that we would just repent and turn back and yield ourselves to your Spirit. Keep ourselves in the love of God the way we're supposed to. Father, bless the message, bless the people, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you, and you're dismissed.